Okay, we're holding page 1134. Last time we saw Beit Avraham, Rambam. And the, You can't, it says in the Pasuk, you shouldn't stray from the Torah and to go off and do other things. They should not change any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And you should not exchange mitzvahs for all sorts of silly habits and minhagim. Certainly when they're holding on to something that wasn't at all done the Kvod Shemayim. So I think he's a little bit oblique about what he's talking about, but he does seem to say, like, I believe he includes superstitions and silly stuff. In other words, things that are not, it's like the people who dwell on doing all sorts of things, which basically, some are superstitions, some are avodah zarah. It's because people tend to have a need for quote-unquote supernatural activities. So they load themselves up with all sorts of narishkeiten, which are not in any sense add anything to Torah. They replace Torah mitzvahs. And that is a form of azar. So basically what he's saying is any type of straying from the mitzvah activity is really given, and there's kind of, you know, it branches off and all sorts of other stuff, is what the Pasuk is talking about. And then he says as far as that the tochachas are divided between those that are in bayis sheni in the beginning of it, and to those that are at the end of bayis sheni, he says, that's the first half by Sheni with the Yevanim and Antiochus, and then the second half is Rome, which ends with, being totally exiled. Then he says, "V'hischul b'tochachos, ba'amar lo sishna kashem kelish maskol mitzvos kol kashem asafra yom." He started with tochachos, v'zeh b'lis sofik kasher humra shmiras mitzvos hatorah min hagim shalom zlosam. When instead of keeping Torah and mitzvahs, they started doing all sorts of other things, v'husak achar mishpat, and they and Torah became a back burner. And then he says, we'll skip down a bit. They stopped doing mitzvahs and so on. The last line he says is ube'ela hisbara sibas churma sheni vasmadas churbane vasmadas sibase. He says, if Bayis Sheni was Charev because of these things, and it's not rebuilt, it's because it still is current amongst us. I want to add some point about this. Yes, it's current amongst us and so on, but one doesn't need to say that it's as bad today as it was then. Let's give an example. Imagine somebody is fired for drinking on the job. So obviously the level of drinking required not to hire somebody is less than to fire somebody. So let's say I have to hire somebody and then they tell me this person, occasionally takes a l'chaim too much, so you just don't hire him. If somebody's working for you and now somebody comes along and he says drinking takes extra l'chaim, so okay. But it's the logic is that to take action, to take a course of action requires a lot more than not to take a course of action. So it doesn't mean necessarily that our level of averus are as bad as what's described in Bayis Sheni. This doesn't imply that. It does imply so let's say we fired somebody for being like, you walk into his office and you find him sprawled out. So let's say, you know, a year later, he checks back and he asks, can I get my job back? And he says, stop drinking. And the person says, well, you won't find me sprawled out on the floor anymore. We'll tell him it's not enough. You've got to be totally sober. So to rebuild the bias means that we have to completely rid ourselves of sinas chinam, all the other things, the shmitas and so on. So it does imply that we have the same problem. It does not imply that we have the same issue. Okay, the next one is a very different subject. It's a Rambam, and the pasuk says, Tachas ha-shavata shemakechu simcha tov leivo mirov kol. So this pasuk can have many meanings. It says, all of these tochachas come because you didn't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha of tov leivov, with simcha and tov leivov, mirov kol, when you had everything. So you could learn the pasuk as meaning, because you didn't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the circumstances were so positive, you had it all and things were fantastic and so on and so forth, why did you worship Hashem at that time? That's why you're getting it. It's one thing when a person has a lot of pressures, a lot of tzaras, a lot of this and that, and doesn't do exactly what it's supposed to do, it's excusable. But everything is really working very well, it's not excusable. Fine. The Rambam learns it a little bit differently. The Rambam learns it that you didn't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha. So the Rambam says, "Hasimcha sheyismach adam ba'asiyas hamitzvus uba'avas akel shesivu behen." The simcha that a person needs to be happy with doing a mitzvah, and avas and the avak Hashem Baruch Hu who was mitzavi to do it, avoda gdolahi. It's a very, very important avoda. V'cholamonea atzam simcha zu roy leparamenu, and anyone who abstains, refrains from simcha, deserves to be punished. So let's talk about this a little bit because this is obviously very important. Even this is, you know, you can't get a bigger litvak than the Rambam, and the Rambam says the simcha of the mitzvah. What is the meaning of simcha? We talk about this when we talk about the Kuzari. Let's take an example. Every one of us does things that we don't want to do because you have to. Sometimes it's when you're young, it's because your parents told you and gave you no choice. Sometimes it's because it's the tushah. Sometimes it's because of life. If I want to build up a business, I have to do X, Y, and Z. I don't like doing X, Y, Z, but I like the business, and that's what I do. So if I could to make a sweeping statement about what engenders simcha and what simcha is, simcha is an expression of whether this activity is me and what I want versus what I have to do because of something else. So mitzvahs are not supposed to be just because I have to do them. It's something which I need. Yes, the Torah told me I have to do it, but I need to fulfill a mitzvah appropriately. I need to appreciate what a mitzvah is, or else I'm not fulfilling a mitzvah appropriately. That's by definition almost. So if a person does a mitzvah and he says, you know, God's all powerful and he's given me really no choice because he's got a whole slew of punishments and a whole slew of rewards and that's that and that's what I gotta do, then I haven't connected with it. And I'm missing the core of the mitzvah. The core of the mitzvah is to connect with it. It's two things. First of all, to connect with the activity itself is important. The simcha is something which is, it means that I connect to the mitzvah, and mitzvahs are important ruchnistic activities, one. Two, let's give an example. Imagine I don't particularly care to go to, I don't know, a concert. But if somebody I love wants to go to a concert, then going there is a very, very pleasurable activity because I'm going with the person I love, and it's an expression of I'm making the other person happy and I'm with him. That should make me very happy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzav mitzvahs, and therefore, I mean, first and foremost, it's the thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves, so to speak, and I'm joined to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with it. So where's the simcha for that? If I really claim to want kirvas alekim li toiv, then where's the simcha here? Why am I not happy just to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if I don't relate to the mitzvah itself yet? So Rambam says, "Ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah u'be'ahavas ha-keil she-tziva behem." Those are the two elements of simcha that a person should have. I once heard there was Yidner Shlaim Reb Chaim Brim, who I think I told of a story before, who was a Siatna Chassid, he was a Biana Chassid, Siatna Chassid, Rishna Chassid, and was very close to Chassid Nish, a very interesting combination of input. And he told over my son who got bar mitzvah that he once heard from a Volba that a mitzvah, if you do a mitzvah properly, the mitzvah become one through the mitzvah. And he himself said he saw twice his life. He saw when the Siatna did Hoshainis, he saw something like that. And when the Chaznish davened the regular mincha, he saw something like that. That was the way he described it. But the sense of Kirvat HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be molded at Simcha. And therefore, if anyone doesn't have that Simcha, it doesn't allow for that Simcha, he is deserving to being punished, because in a certain sense, he's rebelling against the core of what mitzvahs are. It's like, imagine somebody tells his parents, I'm being mechabed you because the Torah says I have to. It's not a very, very good relationship with his parents. Now the Rambam adds another possible motive for not acting with simcha. B'chol ha-megiz daito, b'chol ha-kovid la'atzmo, u'miskabed b'einav b'kom zeilu, choyte v'shoyte. A person who becomes, who's too haughty and full of himself, and he cares about his kovid in a place that's in an area like this, he's both a sinner and a shaita. Let's describe what he is talking about. When a person dances in front of somebody, so the act of dancing in front of somebody is similar to, I guess, a court jester. It's ke'ilu, you are making yourself light in front of the other person. A kid jumps all over the place and dances all over the place. A person who is not a mechubedika person is very light. He's lightweight. He's all over the place and so on and so forth. A person who's mechubedik is heavy. The word comes kaved, kavod. It's like, I don't easily jump. I don't, and it is appropriate that a person who's mechubedik should act mechubedik. But let's say the person in stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, spasnished, I'm too mechubedik to dance in front of you. I can't let myself loose because I'm chashev. So that is a type of attitude that's wrong because it's wrong for many counts. And the Rambam says he's a chote and a shoite, because I am a mechubedik person when it comes to other people. Who am I in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he brings a famous story with David HaMelech. It's Valzeh Hize Shlomo Vama Altis Hadel Vemelech. Shlomo said, don't strut in front of a king. Don't hold yourself chashev in front of a king. And a person who makes light of himself and cares not about his covet when it's in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are godl hamechubed oiv me'aveh. That's the greatest covet, and that's avoid me'aveh. So this is a famous story where David, they brought back the Aron that was captured at Plishtim, and when it came back, they made like a Sefer Torah, and it says David HaMelech danced very, very, he agitated, he was all animated, he was all over the place. His wife, who was a princess, she was Bas Shaul, she was a Jewish princess, not American, but let's say, I guess, Jewish-Israeli princess, a Jip, was very annoyed that her husband, Melch Yisrael, is dancing around like a court jester, and she said, very kind of cynically, it must be a very important day, Melch Yisrael, that you're dancing about like one of the shifchas, one of the avarim, and you're making a fool of yourself. And David HaMelech answered, and he said, the God who brought me from the shepherd's shack to become Melech Yisrael, even if I were to make lighter of myself, I couldn't do better than that. Even if I were to be to act even more silly than this, v'yisi shafel beinai, it still wouldn't be humble enough. V'ein ha'gdula kosan Hashem. You know, it's the greatest gdula and kavod is to be son Hashem. Shnei v'melech David mefazes u'mechakel lifnei Hashem. Melech David was dancing and jumping lifnei Hashem. So the type of activity of, you know, that demands enlightenment. Now, you can also, you can translate this to other areas as well. So for us today, dancing is not, you know, it's not that activity that we play our kabbalah cards. But there are other things where a person has to do things. And, you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein was an extraordinary anav. You know, Rav Shveish Moshe anav. I was zocher to see him and so on. And there are countless stories, you know, like he needed his son to do something. His son said he doesn't know if he can go because he has to tutor a kid. So Moshe said, I'll tutor the kid. Moshe changed a light bulb, needed changing. So part of it had a personal anava, but part of it was also Savodas Hashem. So what's the difference? I need to do something. It needs to be Kadosh Baruch Hu. Where at all is my kavod a factor in it? It's, you know, you prove a kavod to the person who, you know, I once, whatever, one of my brothers had a story where somebody needed desperate business, whatever it was, and my brother went out on a limb to give him the business, and then he needed to see him something. This person got very annoyed and said, you don't have an appointment. It's like, I invested $1 million in your firm and bought you the desk and the table and everything and got you started. And now when I happen to walk in, you know, you sit behind the desk and say, sir, where's your appointment? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us what we are, what we have. And the Kaloisayt Mezois. Okay, let's take a look next on Rabbeinu B'chai on the same topic. Yashimenu HaKosev Elo Shem Esok Le'Avadu B'Simcha. Pasuk accuses him not doing Avadu B'Simcha. Lefi Shechayiv HaAdam Ala Simcha B'Saskei Mitzvahs. A person is chayiv on Simcha when he's also giving mitzvahs. V'Simcha B'Maisa Mitzvah Mitzvah Ne'atzmoy. The Simcha B'Maisa Mitzvah is a mitzvah Ne'atzmoy. Milvad HaSchah Shesh LaMitzvah Yesh HaSchah La Simcha. And that's why you get punished, because you're lacking, you're not being mekayim a very important mitzvah. That's a person needs to do mitzvahs with simcha kvan shleima. V'chein omer b'medrash rus, Elohoy yodeh ruven shekadosh baruch hu machtiv alav, v'yesh men ruven v'yetzleim yadam, v'ksevim lech laviv. So he brings here a bunch of Chazal bring a bunch of places where had the person known, then they would have done this and that. The wrong pshat in this medrash is that it was a publicity thing. In other words, if Ruvu no Kadosh Baruch Hu wrote, wow, you know, he would do it so that he would have a bigger write-up in the paper and so on. The pshat is, had he understood what it meant? In other words, had he understood that Kadosh Baruch Hu was describing this as such an incredible ma'isa, he would have done it differently. So it has a lot more to do with, you know, understanding the impact of ma'isa. And I think that's what Rabbeinu Chai is trying to tell too, that if we would understand what our ma'isim are, we would do it in a very different way. We would do it with simcha. Okay, there is another Rambam that tells us what simcha is and what it's not. Kishadam oichol b'shei samech b'regel. First, eating, drinking, and b'simcha in a regel. Lo yimshech b'yayin b'spoi kal saroish. He shouldn't drink and become empty and light. V'yoyimashe kol m'sheish v'zayav mitzah simcha. That the more you make merry, the more you have a mitzah simcha. Drinking and silliness is not simcha. Alaholos v'sichlos. So just like a person imagined that had a very serious disease and was cured, you make a simcha, You're very happy, but it has depth to it. It's not silly, it's not stupidity. We were not commanded to engage in silliness, lightness. A simcha that has avodas Hashem in it. The pasuk is calling it an adjunct to avodas Hashem. Holamarata shavayda besimcha. Be efshel avodas Hashem lo mitoch shok lo kalsoish toch shichrus. You can't have avodas Hashem that comes together with lightheadedness. It has to be something in that simcha that complements avodas Hashem, that a person, you know, has strong religious feelings rather than a casting off religious feelings. They used to say when I was young, like some people say that, you have a Musa Seder, movies are also a Musa Seder. Why aren't movies a Musa Seder? Most movies end up with the bad guy losing and the good guy winning. That the old time movies, I'm not sure about today's movies, but in those days, the movies, the bad guy lost at the end and the good guy won. So why isn't that, you know, why doesn't that count as a Musa Seder? That was like the question. The answer was, well, let's see what kind of Meir you daven after Musa Seder, and what kind of Meir you daven after movie, if you daven at all. So, that, but here also, if it's a type of Simcha Shal Mitzvah, the Simcha and the Mitzvah mutually reinforce each other. The Mitzvah becomes Simcha, Simcha becomes Mitzvah, and it becomes together. Not like that in when it's Hoilus. Then he says, and this is something, I guess, a Rambam that people don't bat around too much. Chayavim Bezen Lamed Shodim Regolim. Bezen has to place people during the Regolim guards, so to speak. Shemisavim Chapsim Beginois of Yehadeh Shalnois. They should look in public areas, in parks, in rivers. Kedesha is Kapsu Lechashem Anashim Anashim. There shouldn't be men and women coming together and they will end up doing averus. They should warn people, shleis arvu anoshim v'noshim bateim, the simcha, they shouldn't have mixed events, and they shouldn't drink together, shouldn't do aver. So everything, every silver has a cloud lining, and when you make simchas, you can end up having it become the Yetzer HaRayis is never sleeping. He's 24/7, and events and merry events and silly events can become, Chas V'Shalom, conduits for HaRayis. So he says you have to zechiyuv on Bezdin to appoint people to watch and to make sure that the behavior is proper. Okay, we'll hold it here.